Narayana namaskritya Narai chayva narottamam Devam sarasvatim vyasam Tato jayam udhiraye Nasta parishvabhadresu Nityam bhagavata sivaya Bhagavate uttamas loke Bhakti bhavati nastiki Vede ramane chaiva purane bharati tata hadu antiha chamadiyecha Ari sabotya ghiyate mukam kroti vachalam Phangu langarati grim yakripata ham vandu Sri guru dinatarine paramandana madhava Dhamma Pajita Kaitavota Paramoni Mashram Satam Vedam Vastavam Atavastu Shivadam Tapataya Mulana Sima Bhagavati Mahamone Krintai Kivai Paramishvara Saido Rudi Havarudi Trakitakti Vitakshinam Negama Kapa Phalam Galitam Mukandra Sambitam Pipatam Bhagavatam Rasamalaya Mahura Ura Sikapa Vibhavuka Atoyam Brahma Sutanam Gayat Ayati Grinayagati Basharu Poshu Vedatam Paribhitan Sabidan Tasarahmi Sri Bhakta Misyati Tara Samita Shyati Prasya Nayati Asharati Pachin Anamo Bhagavati Vasudevaya Anamo Bhagavati Vasudevaya Anamo Bhagavati Vasudevaya So we are continuing the reading of Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, chapter 4, the chapter of the atrocities of King Kamsa. So this chapter describes how Kamsa, you know, it's killing the children of Devaki. And of course, the last one happened to be a daughter, and Kamsa was not successful in that one. So today, text number 5. Bahavo imshita bratha sishabaha pavakopamaha traya Daiva Nisistina Putri Kalka Pradiyatam Babo Insika Vratta Babo Insita Vratta Sisa Baha Pavakopa Maha Chaya Daiva Nisristena Putri Kaika Pradiyatam Bahava Many Imshitaha Kill out of envy Bhata, my dear brother, Sishabaha, small children, Babaka Upamaha, all of them equal to fire in brightness and beauty. Dvaya, by you, Daivani Sustena. As spoken by destiny. Putrika, daughter, Eka, one, Pradiyatam, give me as your gift. Translation of Papa by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada ki. My dear brother, by the influence of destiny, you have already killed many babies. Each of them as bright and beautiful as fire. But kindly spare this daughter. Give her to me as your gift. Purport. Here, we see that Devaki first focused Kamsa's attention on his atrocious activities, his killing of her many sons. Then she wanted to compromise with him by saying that whatever he had done was not his fault, but was ordained by destiny. Then she appealed to him to give her the daughter as a gift. Devaki was the daughter of a Kshatriya and knew how to play the political game. In politics, there are different methods of achieving success. First, repression, dhamma, then compromise, shama, and then asking for a gift, dana. Devaki first adopted the policy of repression by directly attacking Kamsa for having cruelly, atrociously killed her babies. Then she compromised by saying that this was not his fault. And then she begged for a gift. As we have learned from the history of the Mahabharata of Greater India, the wives and daughters of the ruling class, the Kshatriyas, knew the political game. But we never find that a woman was given the post of chief executive. This is in accordance with the injunctions of Manu Samhita. But unfortunately, Manu Samhita is now being insulted, and the Aryans, the members of Vedic society, cannot do anything. Such is the nature of Kali Yuga. Nothing happens unless ordained by destiny. Tashaibaito prayati na kovido na labhyate ya brahmatam upariyadaha ta labhyate dukkha anjata sukam kalena sabhatra gabira ramasa. It's from Bhagavatam, first canto, chapter 5, text number 18. This is spoken by Narada Muni. Devaki knew very well that because the killing of her many children had been ordained by destiny, Kamsa was not to be blamed. There was no need to give good instructions to Kamsa. Upadeso I mukanam pakopaya na santaye Chanakya Pandit. If a foolish person is given good instructions, he becomes more and more angry. Moreover, a cruel person is more dangerous than a snake. A snake and a cruel person are both cruel, but a cruel person is more dangerous because although a snake can be charmed by mantras or subdued by herbs, a cruel person cannot be subdued by any means. Such was the nature of Kamsa. Gurave Gurachandaya Ratikaya Tadalaya Krishna Yakrishna Bhaktaya Tai Bhaktaya Namo Namaha Aganatimindasya Ganan Ganan Salakaya Chakshusmita Yinatasmaya Sri Gurave Namaha Namamo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pishtaya Bhutale Shumati Bhaktivedanta Swami Tinamine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nebise Sasunyavadi Pashtadishtarine Vachakapatrubhyascha kripasunbhivacha patihitanam pavanavibhyu vashnavibhyu namanama. So I thank everyone for being here this morning, especially the senior Vaishnavas. So by your blessing I can say something about this wonderful adventure of Bhagavatam we had by Kamsa. Of course, you know, fearing for his life, so he wanted to nip at the bud that because the prediction that the sons or the progeny of Devaki, who happened to be his sister, will kill him. So therefore, even though previously he was very affectionate to his daughter, to his sister Devaki, but now hearing that her children, her offspring, would kill him, so he decided to. First of all, she wanted to kill Devaki herself, you know, as we read in the first chapter. He wanted to kill Devaki, but because of the organs of Vasudev, so he desisted from killing Devaki. But because Vasudev had offered to hand over his children to Kamsa as soon as they are born, so Kamsa, he agreed to the compromise that okay, any children born to Devaki, he will do what is necessary, which is basically to kill them. Because that will, to him, okay, by killing them, so that will take care of any children of Devaki, killing him in the future. And of course, the demons, they have no understanding on the Lord's work, how the works manipulate his affairs. So to them, everything they do is based on the particular calculations they can make. They will make so many schemes, so that by such scheme they can prevent what can be the future calamity. Just like Rama Maharaj was explaining yesterday of how Devaki, he had offered the daughter who had been born to, he said that, look, tell him Kamsa that this is going to be your daughter-in-law. This is going to be your daughter-in-law. So why you want to kill your own daughter-in-law? Because she said, okay, because you're going to have a son, and my daughter, when my daughter grows up, she will be the wife of your son. She'll be your daughter-in-law. So why you want to kill such a valuable relatives? So you know, the Devaki, she had to do so many. She has to employ many different ways to appeal to Kamsa not to kill this child. And of course, as we've learned, that this is not an ordinary child, because you know, happened to be, you know, Dugadevi herself, who has appeared as the daughter of Mother Yashoda. Now this daughter is being brought to Mathura. Now it's in the hands of Devaki, by which Kamsa is trying to snatch. But Mother Devaki, she has this intense, deep motherly feelings that how can someone kill a child? A child is meant to be nourished, a baby, especially a baby. So in this verse which we are reading today, in the beginning she said that Bahavo Imsita, brother, my dear brother, you have killed so many of my children. You know, you've cruelly killed all these children of mine. killed them, all my children. Cancer killed six of them. He killed six, one after the other, before Krishna came. The seventh pregnancy was said to be miscarriage. It was said to be a miscarriage because it was Balaram who was in the womb of Devaki, and Krishna had Balaram transfer to the womb of Mother Rohini. So it was said to be a miscarriage that Devaki had. Of course, it was not a miscarriage, but it was appeared to be that way. And then of course, Krishna himself came within the womb of Devaki. And then the story of going to the Mathura, to Vrindavan, it's all there in the previous chapter that we have read. So, So Devaki, first accusing, now she's not accusing Kamsa now that you have callously killed all my children. Accusing Kamsa this way. And then she realized that, maybe accusing him may not be so good. You know, she said, maybe accusing him may not be so good, you know, because he had accused him of, because when you accuse someone who is so cruel as Kamsa, you accuse such a person, that is, they get much more furious, much more angry. So immediately she has the right quick thing and say, maybe this is not good. So she used the damage control. This is the word of the acharyas, many acharyas who have made the comments on this particular verse. That Devaki, she has to use the damage control by saying, well, actually, all these children that you have killed, it's not your fault. This is according to destiny. According to destiny, destinies have impelled you to kill all these children. So, you know, she's not attributing the fault of killing her children. She's not attributing that fault to Kamsa. She said, this is destiny's own arrangement. After us, nothing happens unless ordained by destiny. So Srila Prabhupada, he put in one line here, that yes, the fact is, everything happened this way because of destiny. That's an unavoidable thing. Because sometimes it's natural that when something happened to us, we want to immediately put a blame on it. Something happened to us, we want to say, because of this, because of that, that this is, you know, happening to me. But men who have knowledge, they know that nothing in this world happened by accident. Everything happened by something. Nothing happened by accident. Just like Srila Prabhupada, he mentioned that we often say that a man is the architect of his fortune. Yes, man is the architect of his fortune, but he's also the architect of his misfortune. Because both fortune and misfortune is there. You know, it's not that we are, you know. Everything that happened to us, either good or bad, is because of something that has been done previously. So in the Bhagavatam, chapter 1, when Parikshit Maharaj, when he was going in the forest, inspecting what was going on in the kingdom, and he saw that personified Kali, he was abusing a cow and a bull. He was beating their leg, breaking their legs and all that. So when Parikshit Maharaj, when he saw this, he was furious. He said that, how dare you, he was telling the Kali that, how dare you do such a heinous thing in my kingdom? Abusing cow, bull, who are the personified dharma. the personification of religion. How dare you do this in my kingdom? So Parikshit Maharaj, first of all, before he decided to punish Kali, he went to the bull and ask him to tell him, because he saw the suffering. He said that both the bull and the cow, they were lamenting, and Parikshit Maharaj tried to find out from them what is the nature of their suffering. He asked them, so they reply. So the mother bull reply, the bull reply, na bayam klesha bijani yatasyu purusha sabha purusham tam vijani mo vika vakya beda vimohitaha. He said, oh greatest among human beings, it is very difficult to ascertain the particular miscreant who has caused our suffering, because we are bewildered by all the different opinions of theoretical philosophers. Because, we try to ascertain the cause of sufferings. So, different philosophers, they have their particular reasonings, they have their particular ideas why there is suffering in the world. So Srila Prabhupada mentioned the purport here. He said, there are many theoretical philosophers in the world who put forward their own theories of cause and effect, especially about the cause of suffering and its effect on different living beings. Generally, there are six great philosophers: Kanada, the author of Vaisheshika philosophy; Gautama, the author of logic; Patanjali, the author of mystic yoga; Kapil, the author of Sankhya philosophy; Jaimini, the author of Kama Mimamsa; and Vyasadeva, the author of Vedanta Darshan. Although the bull or the personality of religion, and the cow, the personality of the earth, knew perfectly well that the personality of Kali was the direct cause of their sufferings, still, as devotees of the Lord, they knew very well also that without the sanction of the Lord, no one could inflict trouble upon them. According to the Padma Puran, our present trouble is due to the fructifying of seedling sins. But even those seedling sins also gradually take away by execution of pure devotional service. Thus, even if the devotees see the mischief mongers, they do not accuse them for the sufferings inflicted. They take it for granted that the mischief monger is made to act by some indirect cause, and therefore they tolerate the sufferings, thinking them to be God-given in small doses. For otherwise, the sufferings should have been greater. So this point out the devotees' mentality. Devotees, even though they may be encountering many problems, many people may be giving them so many difficulties, but they will never ascribe blame to the particular cause of their suffering. Rather, as mentioned here, everything happened by destiny. You know, talking about the mood of devotees, just like when in Navadvip, during the Chaitanya Lila, when Lord Nityananda Prabhu, he was struck on the head by Madai. A broken pot was smashed on his head, that the blood was coming out. So when Mahaprabhu came along with his associate, and Mahaprabhu saw the blood was coming from his forehead, from the forehead of Lord Nityananda, so Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, of course, was very, very furious, was very, very angry. He took up his Siddharshan chakra, ready to kill the culprit. But Lord Nityananda Prabhu said, no, this is, you know, he said, no, this is not the, these are not the cause. You know, he actually appealed to Lord Chaitanya Prabhu that, no, this is not the case, that my suffering is not due to these persons, you know. So, in this way, the mood of a devotee is like that. You know that sometimes, let's say we are Sankirtan, you know, and somebody come and attack us, you know, which happens many, many times, you know. But, so our immediate mentality is to see, okay, how can we defend ourselves? You know, how can we point out the culprit? But a devotee who has made sufficient advancement, we realize that yes, things happen according to a particular destiny. You know that whatever happened to us is basically because of what we have done previously. It's because of our previous thing. And even though something is happening to us now, a devotee will accept that, yeah, this is happening to me because of my past. And what is happening to me now could have been much more greater than what it should have been. But somehow the Lord is very, very kind upon me. So therefore, He's allowing my suffering to be minimal. He's allowing my suffering to be minimal. Otherwise, my suffering will have been much more greater than what I'm getting now. So this is a devotee's mentality. So here, Mother Devaki, this is not your fault. This is destiny. Whatever you have done, it's all according to destiny. We know that these six children of Devaki who were killed by Kamsa, who were they previously? Who were they? So, you know, one time when Lord Brahma, he became lusty towards his own daughter. So Lord Brahma became lusty towards his own daughter, and then he started chasing her, who had taken the form of a deer. So he started chasing his own daughter, Lord Brahma. And of course, he did not follow through. But seeing this incident, the six sons of who was one of the sons of Lord Brahma. Yeah, so Marichi was the son of Brahma. So he had six sons, children. So those six children, they were making fun of Lord Brahma. They were basically criticizing Lord Brahma that, oh, such a great personality, he could not control himself. He could not control himself. So, as in the scriptures, the act of criticizing a superior person is actually a grievous offense to criticize a superior person. If you want to see the activities of a superior person, which may not be normal, and then we started criticizing such activities, then that's a great offense. So because of what these six children of Mauritius have done by criticizing the Brahman, who actually happened to be their grandfather, so because of this, these six children, they were punished. First, they were killed by Hiranyakashipu. They were killed three different times. Second time, I think it was Kalanemis. And so the third time, they were killed by Kamsa. You know. And in order for their purification, because they had to be purified of that offense which they had committed towards Lord Brahma. So it was after Lord Krishna brought these six children who are in the abode of Yamaraj, he brought them to Mother Devaki. Because after Krishna had saved the brought back the sons of his teacher from the abode of Yamaraj. And Mother Devaki, she wanted the same for her 6 children who had been killed by Kamsa. She wanted to see them because she knew that, yes, Krishna is able to bring somebody from the abode of death. So Krishna went to Yamaraj. I think it was Yamaraj or Bali, one of the two. Anyway, Krishna brought back these 6 children. And these 6 children, they were fed by the milk of Mother Devaki. So because of being touched by a pure devotee, so they became free from that offense which they had committed to, you know, to Lord Brahma. So which means we have to be very, very careful on criticizing those who are superior to us. Even though we may have a good intention, still, criticism of a superior is never tolerated of superior. You know. And that warning was given when Chaitanya Prabhu, when there was a Brahmana who tried to criticize Lord Nityananda, and this Brahmana went to Lord Chaitanya Prabhu in Puri, tried to say that, oh, this Avadhuta Nityananda Prabhu, you know, is wearing so many jewelries in his body, and you know, it's, you know, anyway, he tried to criticize Lord Nityananda Prabhu. He went to Lord Chaitanya Prabhu in Puri, so Chaitanya Prabhu had to give him this warning that yes, the activities of a superior person should never be under any circumstance be criticized. The activities of a superior person. And then Chaitanya Prabhu, of course, narrated these pastimes of these 6 children of Marichi, how they criticized Lord Brahma and all that. So therefore, these 6 sons, they were killed by Kamsa. So therefore, what Devaki was saying, that yeah, this is according to destiny, so therefore it's not your fault, you know. Because somehow, she has to pacify Kamsa somehow. She has to pacify him. You know, that's why she's begging that, please give me this daughter as a gift. You know, let me at least have someone as a child. You know, many of my children have been killed. It's not your fault. At least let me have one person, one baby. You know, after all, the duty of every woman, they like to have at least a child. So she's begging Kamsa, but of course Kamsa is a, you know, being a demon, will not, you know, hear. You know, because the demoniac person, they are so determined in everything they do. So talking of destiny, we have the case of Karna, who was he was maternal brother of the Pandavas, but they didn't know. Karna also didn't know. Only Mother Kunti knows that. Because Karna was born by Mother Kunti when she was still a young girl, a virgin, in the house of her father. But when Karna was born, he was immediately put in the river to die. He was born, no fault of his own, but he was put in the river to die. And then when Karna was growing up, he went to learn. He went to the house of his guru, to Parasuram, to learn the art of archery. Because after all, Karna is, Karna was a Kshatriya. He was the son of the sun god, you know. He was not an ordinary person. So Karna, he was... When he went to Parasuram, because Parasuram, he made the condition that he will only train only those who are Kshatriya. He will only train them. But Karna, he was known as the son of a chariot driver. He was known that time. So no one knows his actual identity, because after he was raised by, you know, by a charioteer. He was raised by a charioteer. So he went to Parasuram in a disguise. He said, I am a Brahmana, something like that. So he went to Parasuram as a disguise. So Parasuram gave him training. He trained him up as a Kshatriya. He trained him as a fighter. But there was one time when Parashuram was taking rest, and his head was lying on the lap of Kana. So the guru was taking rest, his head lying on the lap of Kana. So as an insect came and started digging, started biting the leg of Kana, started biting deeply in his leg. And then, as he was digging, even blood started. But Kana, because being a short hair, the shorter they tolerate. They have a huge amount of tolerance. So he did not chase away this insect, which was biting deeply into his flesh. And then the blood came out of his body. And when the blood came out, so the blood somehow flows into the body of Parashuram. So when Parashuram woke up and he saw blood on his body, he asked, "What is this? What is this? What is this on my body?" And then, of course, Kana tried to explain that, an insect had come to my body. He did not want to disturb the sleep of the guru. So therefore he did not prevent the insect from biting him. So Parashuram became angry. He said, this kind of tolerance, this can only be done only by Kshatriyas. So therefore you have lied to me. So therefore I curse you. I curse you that when you need it the most, you will forget that mantra. When you will need it the most, you become forgetful. So this is destiny, no fault of his own. He just want to do some service to the guru, but guru took it the different way. So the guru cursed him. This is destiny. And then towards the time of Mahabharata, when Lord Krishna, even Kunti, they tried to find a way. They didn't want Kana, because that Kana is his fighting skill is actually even much greater than Arjuna himself. It's actually much greater than Arjuna himself. But the only person that can defeat the Pandavas is Kana. So, at the end, then Lord Krishna told Kana that the Pandavas, they are your brother. You should come to their side and fight on their side. They're actually your brother, and you supposed to be because being the first son of Kunti, this empire actually belongs to you. You should be the emperor. Because immediately Yudhishthira knew that you are his elder brother, immediately give the kingdom to you. Because only the elder brothers can be the emperor. So when Kana heard this, he was so totally, he lost all morality. He said, "What is this? This is my brother. This is my brother." But because he had already made this pledge with Duryodhana, he said, "I already made my pledge with Duryodhana. I cannot go back. If I go back, then Duryodhana said that I'm doing this out of cowardry because I'm very coward." So therefore, even though he knew that yes, the Pandavas are his brother, he still had to fight on behalf of Duryodhana. This is the all act of destiny. So how the destiny works is really difficult to estimate. So therefore, Srila Prabhupada, he quoted a verse from the Bhagavatam, which was this was spoken by Narada Muni in the first canto of Bhagavatam. Narada Muni was talking with Vyasadeva. So he said, "Tashyava eto prayate ta kovido na labate ya brahmatam upariyadaha talabyate dukkhaban anjata sukham kalena sabatra gabira Ramasa." So the translation is in the other part of Bhagavatam here. So this is the first canto, chapter 5, text 18. So Narada Muni says, "Persons who are actually intelligent and philosophically inclined shall endeavor only for that purposeful end, which is not obtainable even by wandering from the topmost planet, Brahmaloka, down to the lowest planet, Patala. As far as happiness derived from sense enjoyment is concerned, it can be obtained automatically in course of time, just as in course of time we obtain miseries even though we do not desire them. So happiness comes, distress comes, it's all by destiny. So therefore, their choice, they're saying, we should only aspire for that purposeful end, which cannot be attained by wandering anywhere in this material world, that is, which means by seeking the shelter of the Lord. So Srila Prabhupada said in the purport here, he said, every man, everywhere, is trying to obtain the greatest amount of sense enjoyment by various endeavors. Some men are busy engaged in trade, industry, economic development, political supremacy, etc. And some of them are engaged in fruitive work to become happy in the next life by attaining higher planets. It is said that on the moon, the inhabitants are fit for greater sense enjoyment by drinking somaras, and the pitriloka is obtained by good charitable work. So, there are various programs for sense enjoyment, either during this life or in the life after death. Some are trying to reach the moon or other planets by some mechanical arrangement, for they are very anxious to get into such planets without doing good work. But it is not to happen. By the law of the Supreme, different places are meant for different grades of living beings according to the work they have performed. By good work only, as prescribed in the scriptures, can one obtain birth in a good family, opulence, good education, and good bodily features. We see also that even in this life, one obtains a good education or money by good work. Similarly, in our next birth, we get such desirable positions only by good work. Otherwise, it will not so happen that two persons born in the same place at the same time are seen differently placed according to previous work. But all such material positions are impermanent. The positions in the topmost Brahmaloka and in the lowest Patala are also changeable according to our own work. The philosophically inclined person must not be tempted by such changeable positions. He should try to get into the permanent life of bliss and knowledge, where he will not be forced to come back again to the miserable material world, either in this or that planet. Miseries and mixed happiness are two features of material life, and they are obtained in Brahmaloka and in other lokas also. They are obtained in the life of the demigods and also in the life of the dogs and hogs. The miseries and mixed happiness of all living beings are only of different degree and quality, but no one is free from the miseries of birth, death, old age, and disease. Similarly, everyone has his destined happiness also. No one can get more or less of these things simply by personal endeavor. Even if they obtained, they can be lost again. One should not therefore waste time with these flimsy things. One should only endeavor to go back to Godhead. That should be the mission of everyone's life. So the different teachings are there by the great authorities. This question of destiny, which is called Adrista. Adrista means what cannot be seen. So, you know, it's very wonderful things that here So Muradivaki, she's trying to appeal to Kamsa to at least give her this daughter as a gift for her. So we're going to, in the next verses, so we're going to hear more about the further atrocities of Kamsa. So I'm going to stop here. If there's any question or comment, you can please. Maybe Maharaj want to add something, some comment? Yeah. Okay.
Everything is seen as destiny, so if someone is acting very cruel, like Kamsa is acting cruel, I mean, the Vaishnavas get upset and angry. Devotees get angry to see that someone is mistreating others, then we think it's, well, it's Krishna allowing it because it's destiny, so why should we interfere? How do we distinguish between good and bad if ultimately the bad is also destiny and Krishna is allowing it to happen?
Well, I mean, if something is happening to us personally, I accept it as destiny. But if, of course, it's our duty to defend, you know, to defend Vaishnavas. It's our duty to defend Vaishnavas. If somebody is coming to attack them, so we have to defend them. Otherwise, that we consider stupidity, ignorance. Yeah, destiny, when it comes to our individual self, will accept whatever is happening to me. That's my destiny. I'm not going to mean because I have to have done something in my previous life. That's why I'm getting this. But if you see Vaishnav being attacked, us, well, we have to defend. We have to do that. Only when it applies to our individual self, you know. So we know that Mother Devaki, that's what she's saying here. She's not. She's okay. This is not your fault. You know, at least you know what you have done is by destiny. You know. well, that's called that's kind of defense. You know, that's self-defense, which the Vaishnavas really do not do. But the again, it's somebody's attack. How can I say somebody's going to attack me? How do I do that? Of course, in all the scripture, just like you know, Jesus in the Bible said that if somebody slap you on the right cheek, you should turn the other side. You know, turn the left cheek for them to. You know, to slap back. So that's what the tolerance of the Vaishnava. Nityananda Prabhu, he did not react when Madai, you know, threw the pot on his head. He simply, you know, he tolerated it. You know, whereas Chaitanya Prabhu was ready to kill him, to kill Madai, but you know, Nityananda Prabhu, he had to appeal to Chaitanya Prabhu. He said, no, don't do that. If you kill him, then you have to kill all the sinners in Kali Yuga. So. Something personally to us, we are supposed to be, you know, not to be humble, you know, tolerant, basically. But if you see another Vaishnava being attacked, of course, that we have to do. That we have to defend. It's our moral duty to defend, you know, a Vaishnava being attacked. You know, maybe Maharaj can say something about that.
In general situation, the theory of karma or destiny, and destiny eventually is also a karma. In general, but here, like some special cases, pastime or Krishna, so everything is like that. In general case, we suffer and enjoy if we are. Suffering or enjoyment. This is all individual, personally, we are responsible for the
whole
thing. But in general case, special case here at the pastime of Krishna, Nityananda provide no doubt any sinful activity.
he was just a pastor.
Yeah,
Okay. Krishna. Marat, Prabhupada said something about it? Did Prabhupada say something about that? Something Prabhupada's pastimes regarding to that aspect?
Okay, don't prolong the class too long.
Eh?
He starts his pastimes, they go on forever. That's our destiny.
Okay. So I guess Raghunandan Maharaj has come. Hare Krishna Maharaj. Jai Gnatrashma Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Gopi Manande. Hare Krishna.